Ny episode av Det alle snakker om med Siri og Kim.
Altså, jeg elsker jo yngste datteren til Perny, altså så mye at jeg har lyst til å adoptere henne og ha henne som et ekstra barn inn I familien min. Men da må hun være I karakter. Jeg aner ikke hvordan hun privat. Tenk hvis hun helt vanlig privat. Det vanlige unger, det har jeg lagd selv.
Hør Det alle snakker om gratis der du hører podcast. They're waking up with the sunrise glow,
bulletproof coffee, they're ready to go. Velkommen til Biohacking Girls podcast, der vitenskap møter livsstil, og der vi tar kontroll over vår egen helse.
Vi dykker ned I teknologi, ernæring, trening og mentale hacks for å styrke kropp og sinn. Det handler om å bruke naturens prinsipper for å finne balanse, energi og glede.
Vi tester, utforsker og lever som vi lærer, alt for å inspirere deg til å finne din vei til et balansert og godt liv.
For det alle kan få dette til, og sammen kan vi gjøre kunnskap til praksis og skape varig forandring. Du klar for å ta steg inn I fremtiden? La oss hacke livet sammen. Kjære lyttere, denne episoden på engelsk. I morgen kommer den norske varianten fra oss to. Welcome back to our show, where we dig deep into the truth behind health, healing, and what it really takes to thrive in today's world.
Today's guest is someone we've been following for a long time. And if you've ever explored keto, fasting, or metabolic health, you've definitely come across this name. Ben Asadi is the best-selling author, the founder of Keto Camp, and the host of the Metabolic Freedom podcast, one of the top health shows out there today.
And I was so lucky to meet him in Miami a few weeks ago, visiting Dr. Melissa and Jason Saunders. So this is really special for us to have him on the show. And back in 2008, Ben went through his own radical health transformation, shedding 80 pounds of pure fat and stepping into a whole new life. Since then, he's made it his mission to help 1 billion people reclaim their health. And he's doing it by challenging everything we've been taught about food, fat, and metabolism.
In his latest book, Metabolic Freedom, Ben lays out a 30-day roadmap to restore your metabolism, balance your hormones, and shift your body from burning sugar to burning fat for good. He combines ancient healing strategies like intermittent fasting and the ketogenic lifestyle with the latest science in cellular health, mitochondrial repair, and hormone optimization.
And we are so excited today because we are talking all about this, the broken calorie model, the real root causes of weight gain, the myths around healthy foods, dirty keto, and why metabolic dysfunction, not obesity, is the real issue we need to be addressing.
This conversation is packed with insight, truth bombs, and real strategies for taking back your health. So wherever you are, grab a cup of coffee, take us on a walk, or settle in, because maybe you need to take notes. This is going to change what you think about health forever.
And we will also learn about the vitamin G, gratitude. Let's welcome to the show the detective himself, Ben Asadi.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright and they're planting the seed.
Wow. Ben, you are finally here on our podcast. Thank you so much. This is a pleasure and something we have been looking forward to because we have been following you and listening to you forever. I feel like I know you and Monica actually knows you because she met you in Miami. Welcome.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome. Yes, I am honored to be on your awesome podcast. I did finally get to meet you, Monica, here in Miami a few weeks ago. We'll make it happen, I'm sure. In person. But thank you for the introduction. I'm excited to be with you today.
And we have to start with one thing because your episodes are wonderful and you always end your podcast episodes with a nice question about vitamin G. So we will open this one with asking you about gratitude and what are you grateful for today?
Ah, I love it. You're starting it off. I usually end it. Okay, so gratitude is, I used to say gratitude was a practice. We should practice gratitude. And I don't believe that anymore. I believe gratitude is a feeling. So with that being said, I want to feel the gratitude as you asked the question. I'm grateful to have my health and my vitality, to be able to have conversations like this, to be able to do the things that I'm doing and reach a lot of people that really need this information. And I'm grateful to have the health and the vitality and the energy to do that. I'm grateful I'm able to recover at night and sleep and wake up and live on purpose with the purpose with that same energy and vigor and vitality. If I didn't have that energy and vitality, I would not be able to reach the people that I'm reaching. And God knows we need to reach these people. So I'm grateful that I have this energy and vitality to have these conversations and do what I'm doing.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I had the pleasure of having dinner with you in Miami a few weeks ago. And my husband asked you, what is the greatest biohack? You are the star here. Oh, please share with me. And you came up with that word, gratitude. And I was so impressed, but also moved. It touched my heart.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Thank you. And it's true. You know, gratitude, I call it vitamin G. In chapter 10 of my book, Metabolic Freedom, I go into the science of gratitude and how it just changes your inflammatory levels. It boosts your immune system. I mean, studies show it's not just like a concept or theoretical. It's credible studies. UC Davis shows people who take vitamin G who are grateful have healthier blood pressure levels, healthier blood sugar levels. And then there's one study I put in the book. I think it's the most comprehensive study on gratitude from Harvard that was published in JAMA on 49,275 nurses. And it showed the nurses who took vitamin G every day, meaning they practiced, they felt gratitude every day, had a 9% reduction in dying from all-cause mortality and a 15% reduction in dying from cardiovascular disease versus the nurses who did not take vitamin G. All right, so it's not something that's just woo-woo. It's one of the most important things we could implement into our biohacking routine. It will change your life and it happens right away. Like you get an immediate benefit and it's free and you can take it as much as you want.
And you cannot get toxic levels?
No toxic levels. There's no toxicity limit, as much as you want.
The only vitamin D, vitamin you can just,
take as much as you want. There's no problem, right? Yeah, exactly.
But if some of our listeners probably don't know who you are, could you please share some of your story, backstory for the listeners so that we have a setting for this podcast?
Of course, yeah. So I got into the health space back in 2008, about 17 years ago. For most of my life, I was metabolically unhealthy. I followed a standard American diet, which is really processed, toxic diet. And I was obese growing up. I was actually obese for most of my life, believe it or not. I was, when I was 23 years old, I was 250 pounds, physically obese, mentally obese. I was depressed going through mental illness. And I actually wanted to give up on life. And I was exploring ways to do so. And what stopped me was my mom. She didn't know I was doing this, but I kept thinking about my mom and thinking about the devastation I would cause her if I went through with that. So it stopped me. And at this time, I was rock bottom. I was depressed. Never studied health and nutrition. Biohacking wasn't really a thing back then. And it started with my self-development, my thoughts, and my mindset. I started to study Dr. Wayne Dyer's work and Bob Proctor's work. And I started to fall in love with these individuals. It really helped me take ownership and responsibility, which helped me start to eat real food and move my body. And I just made some simple changes. And I first took responsibility. Then I started to make changes in my diet, move my body. And 9 months later, I lost 80 pounds. I went from 250 pounds to 170 pounds. I went from at my highest 34% body fat to my lowest 6% body fat and completely transformed my physical appearance, but also what it did for my mental health. And all the depression started to go away. I always say I achieved a mental six pack, which is even more important than a physical six pack. And that's what got me into this space, the metabolic health space. Along the way, I was a personal trainer here in Miami for many years. I had a gym, a CrossFit gym in Miami for many years. And then I went 100% virtual in 2018, where I created Keto Camp, my company, started the podcast, which is now called Metabolic Freedom Podcast. We just I just recorded episode 1,000 yesterday on the podcast, which is, you know how difficult it is because y'all have been crushing it with your podcast. And now I have this new book coming out. So it all started with my own pain to purpose journey.
And also you dedicate your book to your father. So how has his story impacted you and where you are today?
I did dedicate it to my dad, who died from metabolic disease, diabetes, which led to a stroke, which was preventable. It was reversible, but I didn't really understand much of it when he was going through it. So along that journey in 2013, my dad, he always had type 2 diabetes during my lifetime, but it started to get worse as I was an adult, started to progress for him, and it ended up causing a massive stroke. He suffered a massive stroke from his diabetes, which left him paralyzed. His entire right side of his body was paralyzed, and he lost the ability to speak. And he was transferred to hospice care. And I would visit my dad every week, multiple times a week in hospice care. Hospice is a very difficult place. The energy there is dark. It's people are essentially on their deathbed. But I would visit him. I would show up. I would be positive as much as I can and share with him what's happening in my life, giving him updates. This is in 2014 now. And then he ended up passing away about 9 months after the stroke. And once he passed away, I was angry. I was confused. I was sad. And I realized that the conventional doctors that we were working with never discussed lifestyle changes. They never discussed reversing the diabetes. It was all about managing it. It was all about increasing the medication. And along the way, I started to really dig into the research on diabetes and metabolic health and insulin resistance and pre-diabetes. And it's a completely reversible. It's completely preventable. I'm talking about type 2 diabetes, but I never knew that. Never one doctor told me that. So now I know that the same information that I share in my new book, Metabolic Freedom, is the same information that would have saved my dad's life. But I also say in the book, I know I was given that mountain so I could show the world that this mountain can be moved. And that's what lights me up. It's what gives me purpose and passion. Because unfortunately, in the U.S., we spend about 4.6 trillion dollars every year on healthcare. $4.6 trillion on healthcare, which would be the fourth largest GDP in the world if it was a GDP. Yet in the U.S., we rank around 37th around first world countries in regards to health, meaning we are not healthy. We're getting worse. We're sicker than ever before, but pharmaceutical companies are richer than ever before. And get this, one out of every $4 spent on healthcare is spent on diabetes, primarily type 2. So a big passion of mine is to educate people on these metabolic diseases, which includes diabetes.
Thank you so much for sharing. But Ben, how do you think turning despair or sadness or sorrow or loss to something positive in your situation, dedicating your life to teaching, how do you think that impacts your central nervous system, like the connection between emotions and your body and knowledge?
Well, it does impact it, of course. The nervous system, to your point, Monica, it's everything. There's two ways to go about it. I could look at that situation and continue to be negative about it and feel like a victim of the system and be hateful and angry and bitter. There were moments of that in the beginning, but I'm actually grateful that I went through all of that. Even though I lost my dad through it and he suffered and I saw him suffer, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything that's happened in my life. I don't know if I would have this level of dedication and passion and consistency if I didn't go through it. And maybe, you know, God did that on purpose because he knew he could use me to take this message to the world, which I believe I'm doing. And now I think it impacts my nervous system in a positive way because I'm not looking at it in a negative light. I'm looking at it. We create the stories, right? I could create a story saying this is the worst thing and I'm a victim and screw the system and screw everything. And I could be in a negative sympathetic state, or I could create a story of like, this is a blessing. Now, who can I help as a result? I have a story to share. It's going to resonate with people. And if I didn't go through that, I might not have the same level of passion and I won't have the story. So we choose the stories that could lead to a healthy nervous system or a dysregulated nervous system.
But the book is called Metabolic Freedom. What does that mean? And what does it look like?
That's the way God designed us, to thrive, to take food and convert that food into energy, whether it's a carbohydrate, a protein, or a fat. That's metabolic freedom. It's metabolic flexibility. Or when you don't eat food, like when you fast, you just burn body fat for energy and feel good and thrive. That is metabolic freedom. Mm. Unfortunately, I don't know what the numbers are in Norway, but in the US, about 93% of Americans are metabolically unhealthy. They're in a metabolic prison where they cannot do that. They don't have metabolic flexibility. They are relying on sugar, glucose as the only fuel source from food. And if they don't eat that sugar and glucose from carbohydrates, they feel awful. They can't tap into body fat. They cannot produce ketones. They get hangry, which is hungry and angry. They're a sugar burner. So the book, which I actually just got the author copies, I'm holding it up here. This is the official author copy. I know that you love Dr. Mindy Pels in Norway. She's been there. She wrote the foreword of the book. She's a great friend of mine. The book discusses the problems that lead to metabolic dysfunction. And one of those problems is being a sugar burner. When you're stuck burning sugar and glucose from food, it ages you faster. It creates inflammation. It creates disease. It leads to pre-diabetes and then full-on diabetes, which then leads to cancer, heart disease. And one of the most important things that I want your audience to take away from this conversation is this. Insulin is a really important hormone that we want to track and test to see if we are producing healthy amounts of insulin and we have insulin sensitivity. Because the studies are showing that you could have full-blown insulin resistance, hyperinsulinemia, for 6 to 14 years before any of your sugars change, any of your fasting blood sugars change, or A1C. So if you're not getting a fasting insulin test, you could be missing the boat here. I make the case in the book that a fasting insulin blood test is one of the most important tests to get done. I don't know how challenging it is to get it in Norway. Is it challenging to get fasting insulin there?
No, we can get it.
Okay, that's awesome. So please, for those watching and listening, get it at least once a year. And you want to see your fasting insulin between 3 and 6. Anything above that shows signs of insulin resistance and then full-blown insulin resistance. But between 3 and 6, if you get your fasting insulin between 3 and 6 on a consistent basis, you will burn more fat, have less inflammation, and you will add years to your lifespan. So it's so important to get that because we hear about a fasting blood sugar, which is great to get, or an A1C, which is the 3-month measurement of your average of your blood sugars, which is also great. But none of that will change at first. The insulin will dramatically increase first. And it's because the pancreas is so busy producing all of this insulin to clear the excess glucose until it cannot, until those receptor sites for insulin go deaf, and then your blood sugars dramatically increase. So if somebody's diagnosed with diabetes, like what happened to my dad, that didn't happen in a year. That didn't happen in 5 years. That takes about 10 to 15 years. So Einstein said, intellectuals solve problems, geniuses prevent them. And one of the best ways to be a genius is to get a fasting insulin blood test.
But is the fasting insulin blood test, is that the only way to know if you are pre-diabetic? Don't you
get
any?
It's not the only way. Okay. It's not the only way. But you won't know. So sometimes you won't even be pre-diabetic. You'll be insulin resistant.
Yeah.
But that is leading towards the pre-diabetes.
Yeah.
So it gives you a really good understanding if you're going down the right direction or going down the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. But do you get other signs in your body?
Yes.
In your so that you know that, okay, I need to go and take this test?
Yeah, I love that you asked that question because in the book I have what's called a sugar burning quiz.
Yes.
Where I ask 6 questions. And if you say yes to 2 or more of these questions, chances are you have insulin resistance. You should probably go get a fasting insulin and see what's going on. So here are the 6 questions I'll ask your audience right now. Number 1, do you feel tired after eating meals? Number 2, do you snack in between your meals? Number 3, do you have more than 20 pounds of extra weight on your body? Number 4, do you have skin tags anywhere on your body, typically found around your back, on your back, eyelids, or even neck? Number 5, do you have brown patches underneath your armpits or neck area? And number 6, if you skip a meal, do you get hungry and angry, which is called hangry? If you say yes to 2 or more, those are signs you're a sugar burner. You might have insulin resistance, and it's really a really good idea to go get a fasting insulin blood test.
That's great. I just want to address the cortisol also, like we're talking about fat storing hormones. Yeah. So I suppose you would also address levels of cortisol and measure that when you talk about insulin?
Yeah. Insulin is the only fat storage hormone in the body. But to your point, Monica, cortisol works with insulin to store fat. But insulin is the only hormone that stores fat, which is interesting. There's no other hormone. We have over 600 hormones, but other hormones work with insulin. Cortisol is a big player. We've heard about this cortisol belly. I talk a lot about it on my YouTube channel, and it resonates with a lot of people because we could be eating clean. We could be maybe doing all these different biohacks, but we have massive amounts of stress and cortisol, and we're not losing weight. The body doesn't want to lose weight if it thinks it's running from a lion or a tiger. It thinks you need to survive. It's going to store fat. Why would it want to burn fat when burning fat is anti-survival? And the body cannot determine between being stuck in a traffic jam or watching the news and being stressed out and actually running for your life from a lion or a tiger. So cortisol is important to have healthy levels of cortisol. We don't want no cortisol, just like we don't want no inflammation or no insulin or no glucose. We want healthy levels of all of these things. Vitamin G is the fastest way to lower cortisol levels because oxytocin, and I'm sure Mindy Pels has given you all a masterclass on this, oxytocin, that love hormone, whenever that's produced, cortisol is decreased. They have this inverted relationship. So when you activate oxytocin, cortisol is decreased. Vitamin G is the quickest, most effective way to activate oxytocin. Also, laughter, and I actually talk about laughter as medicine in chapter 10. Hugging people, being with your pet. My dog is laying down next to me. So if I went and I just laid down next to him and hugged him, I'd get an oxytocin surge, cortisol will drop. And of course, getting quality sleep and recovering from your biohacks and workouts is also another way to do that.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and the plant in the seed.
Du, Aletta, nå som sommeren nærmer seg, er det en ting vi aldri hopper over.
Vår daglige dose kollagen, selvfølgelig. Vi snakker ikke om et hvilken som helst kollagen. Vi snakker The Solution fra Oslo Skin Lab.
Det har jo blitt en litt sånn fast del av morgenrutinen i kaffen eller i smoothien, i vannflasken. Det enkelt og smakløst, og huden elsker det.
Vi har brukt det lenge nå, og det ikke bare innbildning. Vi merker en stor forskjell. Glød, spens og en mykere følelse i huden. Ja, takk.
Og vet du hva? Kollagen ikke lenger bare en skjønnhetstrend. Det forskning i ryggen, og derfor en internasjonal biohacking movement. Folk over hele verden bruker hydrolysert kollagen for å støtte hud, ledd og bindevevet.
Så, hvis du vil gi kroppen din et forsprang nå før sommeren, tiden inne. Det aldri for sent å begynne å bygge opp kollagenet.
Sjekk ut The Solution for Oslo Skin Lab. Vi digger det, og huden vår gjør det også.
Bruk rabattkoden BIO60 for 60% på første kjøp. Du lei av smerter eller lang restitusjonstid? Nå har vi funnet løsningen. Vi trener en del og underviser tøffe klasser. Det krever superform og balansert kropp. Vi har begge hatt utfordringer med både smerter, prolaps og Baker's syster, og noen ganger litt for lang restitusjonstid.
Ja, og nå bruker vi FlexBeam og har merket en enorm forskjell. FlexBeam en bærbar rødlysterapi som har hjulpet oss med alt fra å dempe smerter ved prolaps til å redusere betennelse i hofte og muskler. Og vi har opplevd umiddelbar smertelindring nesten bedre enn parasett og raskere restitusjon etter støle muskler.
Dette rødt, næringsrikt lys uten bivirkninger. Apparatet stimulerer cellene til å produsere mer energi, noe som gir både smertelindring og en god følelse.
Så du på jakt etter en naturlig og effektiv måte å støtte kroppens helbredelse på, da kan vi på det sterkeste anbefale FlexBeam. Det enkelt, det trygt og det virker. Vi har prøvd det selv. Opplev forskjellen og sikre deg rabatt med koden BG10, og husk at det 60 dagers åpent kjøp.
Okay, but to sum up, just to start, we have a lot to talk about, but it's insulin and it's the cortisol, and yeah, do the counter work, vitamin G,
yeah,
to balance it out. And how long would it take if you started doing gratitude, if you're in the pre-diabetes situation, how many months would it take to change the levels just being grateful?
Well, we also want to do some other things, of course, like these biohacks we're going to talk about. But yeah. If you're just going to add gratitude. That's always a great idea because you'll get healthier that way. I can say that I've seen people come into my programs who have had full-blown type 2 diabetes for many years, taking medication. And with, you know, gratitude and other things that we teach, within a matter of months, they were able to get off all their medication and take their A1C from a really high level, like sometimes over 8 or 9, to under the diabetic range of 5.6 or below. So it could happen between weeks to months. From some people, it could be a little bit longer. But with gratitude, when you feel it and you do it every day, you'll notice a difference in your energy and health and vitality within days. But the trick is to feel the gratitude, not to just practice gratitude. So a lot of people might say, oh yeah, I'll write down 10 things I'm grateful for, or I'll have like a gratitude list. That's treating gratitude as an intellectual practice. It's not an intellectual practice. So instead of writing down 10 things you're grateful for and then saying, I did it, dopamine hit, instead of doing that, maybe choosing one or two things you're grateful for and sitting in that gratitude for a minute each or 2 minutes each and feeling as much as you can feel from that gratitude, whether it's a person, a memory, a relationship, whatever it is, a conversation, slowing down and feeling that. And when you do that, you'll notice a benefit in a matter of days of feeling the actual gratitude.
Perfect. I love the gratitude. But
love it.
Calories in, calories out. That's a failed approach. Why do you think so many nutritionists still promote this outdated model?
Unfortunately, they do. Is it popular in Norway as well?
Oh yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Well, the reason why calories in versus calories out still so popular is because of this. It works. When you cut your calories, for most people, you'll start to lose weight. It works in the beginning. Long term, it does not work and you end up doing metabolic damage. The premise that dietitians and personal trainers and nutritionists have with this whole calories in versus calories out approach is this: I need to get you to lose weight in order for you to be healthy. But that is not how the body works. We don't lose weight to get healthy. We get healthy to lose weight. As a matter of fact, if you're overweight right now, like I was, I used to be obese, you don't have a weight problem. Nobody has ever had a weight problem. That's not even a thing. It's a weight symptom. So counting calories and focusing on a calorie deficit is treating the symptom. The body is not a bank account. It's not a math equation or a calculator. It's a very beautiful, complex chemistry lab. Calories matter, but they're not important. They are a huge distraction. What really matters is hormones and inflammation. When you focus on that, then your body is going to burn fat. You're going to lose weight. It's going to be a side effect of actually getting healthy. There's two studies I put in Metabolic Freedom showing that calories in versus calories out does not work. The first study was done on the Biggest Loser TV contestants. Do you guys know about that? The Biggest Loser? Okay, yeah. So for those who don't know, this was a very popular TV show in the United States where they took these obese individuals, put them on a calorie deficit, excess exercise, eat less, move more, really popular approach. And they lost a lot of weight. They celebrated them. They had this final episode, the season finale, where they would give them, you know, a big round of applause, give them certain rewards and accolades. Then the TV show ended. And this one study looked at 14 contestants, and it showed that 13 out of the 14 contestants gained all the weight back, and 5 of them gained even more weight than before they started the show. And it showed that their hormones were wrecked. Their hunger hormone, ghrelin, was through the roof. Their satiety fat-burning hormone, leptin, had plummeted. So they were hungrier, less satisfied. They wrecked their metabolism. You could only cut your calories so far until the point where your metabolism will match the energy coming in, and then you've disrupted it. Another study in the book looked at fecal microbial transplants, which is called FMT. And it had two groups of obese individuals. One group was given this fecal microbial transplant from healthy, lean donors. They essentially repopulated their gut bacteria with healthy gut bacteria and saw what happened next. They kept the calories the same. The only change was healthier gut bacteria in one group. And that same group that got the FMT started to lose weight. And it showed that your gut microbiome also helps with fat loss. But if you just focused on calories in versus calories out, you'd miss all of this. So we need to get away from that old calories in versus calories out method, which relies on willpower. That's a finite resource, and we need to focus on hormones and inflammation.
So how would we do to focus on inflammation, for instance?
So the main thing is to first identify what has caused this cellular inflammation. And in chapter one of the book, I talk about two different types of inflammation. We have acute inflammation. So Monica, when you go into a cold plunge, I know you love your cold plunge,
you do
acute inflammation. When you work out, acute inflammation, that's actually not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it signals a response to heal that area. Chronic inflammation is the boogeyman. Chronic inflammation is cell inflammation that lingers for years and it creates a lot of diseases and weight gain, weight loss resistance, hormone resistance. So we need to first identify what has contributed to that. The first half of the book talks about that. I talk about, first of all, sugar burning. When you're eating high carbohydrate, processed foods, seed oils, artificial ingredients, this is all causing inflammation. You have to remove that. Then I talk about sleep and circadian rhythm, getting that tuned in to lower inflammation. I talk about environmental toxins, which also cause inflammation. You have to remove your toxicity load. So there's different things. So the goal is to identify what is the interference, and then you remove it. And then the second half of the book is into the solutions. So we could go into any of those areas that you want that I just mentioned. But yeah, those are the things that are primarily driving inflammation.
Can we talk a little bit about the environmental toxins?
Yeah.
And how do we start? Because they're everywhere. And how do they react with the body?
They are everywhere a lot. They are. Yeah. You can't get away from them. So we have to do a good job just mitigating the damage and keeping those downstream detox pathways open. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5 goes deep into this. And I would say in the U.S., maybe worldwide, in Norway as well, but in the U.S. for sure, I think the number one cause of metabolic diseases are these environmental toxins because they are everywhere. They're massive. Go ahead.
How does it work? How do they make us obese and sick?
Disrupting the hormones?
Yeah.
So they're called obesogens. Yeah. And here's how it works to answer your question. When these toxins enter the body, these chemicals called obesogens, they're what's considered, they're called lipophilic. They're fat-loving toxins. So they love your fat cells. So what happens is the body's really smart. The number one priority for this human body, this innate intelligence, is survival. It wants to survive. It will do everything possible to survive. So when these toxins enter the body, the innate intelligence, does not want these toxins to freely circulate in the bloodstream, enter vital organs, and kill you. So it activates a pathway called PPAR gamma. PPAR gamma shuttles those toxins into your fat cells because the solution to pollution is dilution. It wants to dilute these toxins. So there's a lot of room in your fat cells. And if there's not enough room, your innate intelligence will increase the size of your fat cells. And if you run out of room, it'll create new fat cells. So this is how these environmental toxins make us overweight and obese, sick and inflamed. Some simple swaps that we can do to mitigate this damage. And actually, before I get to that, another problem here when you have a lot of toxins in your fat cells, you start to lose weight by doing keto, fasting, whatever it is, and you start to burn fat, which is good. You want to do that. But if you have a lot of toxins and every time you burn fat, your metabolism could burn fat, but then you dump toxins, you can't burn those toxins. You end up recirculating those toxins and auto-intoxicating yourself, then your body starts to think, every time I burn fat, I dump toxins. Therefore, I'm not going to burn fat anymore. And you become weight loss resistant. So that's how a lot of people who do everything right can't lose weight. They have a toxicity. It's a toxicity issue. So we need to address that. Some things we can do right away to just lower the toxicity load are the following. Drink out of glass water bottles like I have here. A glass water bottle, as much as possible versus plastic water bottles. These plastics are everywhere. They're called microplastics. They're finding them in men's testicles and in both men and females' brains and arteries. They're creating hormone disruption, cellular inflammation. So glass instead of plastic water bottles, glass Tupperware instead of plastic Tupperware. wooden cutting boards instead of plastic cutting boards. Here's something else that's interesting. When you go to the supermarket or the gas station and they ask you if you want your receipt, every time you say yes and grab that receipt, you are getting a load of toxins into your body. Studies show, and I put them in the book, 1,000 times more BPA in a cash register receipt than canned food. And when you grab it, that goes into your bloodstream. No. So say no to cash register receipts. And then at the end of the day, keep those detox pathways open. Sauna, castor oil packs, coffee enemas, fasting, taking different liver, kidney support supplements. Keep those detox pathways open. And I talk more about it in the book to make sure you're filtering out and flushing out those toxins coming into the body.
So we have been so lucky to read the PDF version of your book.
Yes.
It's amazing. We are waiting for the hard copy to arrive from Amazon.
I will get you that. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, we ordered from Amazon. That can everybody can get it through
Thank
this
you.
Link afterwards. Yeah. But and you will list up so many good hacks and helpful tools for us to start changing and getting more freedom in our lives. So would you suggest some supplementation too to eliminate more toxins?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of supplementation, targeted supplementation that you use. I like to rotate my supplements. You didn't come to my house, Monica, but if you did, because I live right by Melissa Saunders, and you opened up my pantry, it looks like the vitamin shop. Like it's just, I'll have a lot of supplements there. But some of the staples that I would recommend that I see most people would benefit from these for not just detox, but inflammation and just longevity and anti-aging. Minerals are very important. We are mineral deficient. So high quality minerals, I personally like high quality fulvic and humic minerals. So I would recommend a high quality mineral supplement, which is important for mitochondrial function, fat loss, detoxification, all the stuff we want. Magnesium as well. We are also deficient in magnesium. So finding a high quality magnesium supplement, I would recommend that as well, especially for ladies that are postmenopausal. It's a game changer for them.
We can get the breakthrough here in Norway.
Mag breakthrough?
Yeah.
Yeah, love magnesium breakthrough. Yeah, it has 7 different types of magnesium. Awesome. Great, great stuff. Melatonin is actually a game changer. There's a chapter 11 of the book. I talk about supplementation. And do you guys know Dr. John Lawrence? Have you heard of Dr. John Lawrence before? He would be a good guest on your show. He has a clinic in Sarasota. Mindy knows him as well. And Melissa knows him. And he has a book called Melatonin Miracle Molecule.
So I have read the book, but I don't know the guy. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. So I had him write a section in that chapter for melatonin because people hear about melatonin and they think that it's for sleep. And maybe it could help with sleep, but I'm not recommending it for sleep. I'm recommending it because it's one of the best things you can do for your nervous system, which you brought up earlier. It's one of the best things you can do for HRV, heart rate variability. It's also great for buffering oxidative stress. Every cell in your body that has mitochondria, which is every cell with the exception of red blood cells, actually make its own melatonin. It's not just made in the pineal gland. It's made through your mitochondria because it's actually an antioxidant for the mitochondria. And I'll take high doses of melatonin, 100 milligrams, 200 milligrams. And it is a hormone, but it's different than other hormones like testosterone or estrogen or human growth hormone, meaning it doesn't have a negative feedback loop. If you take other hormones, your body stops producing as many of those hormones because you're taking it from an exogenous source. But with melatonin, that doesn't happen. You could take massive amounts for a very long time and you'll still produce the same amount. So I use melatonin cyclically. I think it's a game changer. And then I'll add one more into the mix for just overall inflammation and detoxification. That's going to be creatine. Creatine is amazing for mitochondrial health, muscle building, performance, exercise, brain function. So I personally take about 10 grams of creatine per day, but somewhere between 5 and 10 grams seems to be a good sweet spot for most people. So those would be a few supplements I would recommend that I talk about in the book as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you think about binders to actually bind the toxins from, do you recommend anything there?
I do. Yeah. So if we're talking about detoxification specifically, binders are a good idea. And you want to take binders. There are two best times to take binders: right before bed, about an hour and a half away from any other food and medication, because it'll bind that as well and other supplements. And the reason why I say take it before bed is because during 2 to 4 a.m., in Chinese medicine, it's called liver time, where your liver is dumping all this bile. It's detoxifying. And when you take a high-quality binder, it sits in your gut like a catcher's mitt. So when your liver is detoxifying overnight, it's collecting those toxins. So I actually do take binders most nights before bed. And then if you do an infrared sauna or any sauna, taking it 30 minutes before the sauna could also help with catching some of those toxins that you're detoxifying during a sauna. And also, you could take a binder about an hour before, like a fatty cup of coffee as well. Because when you drink a fatty cup of coffee, it also causes your liver to dump bile. So that could be another method for taking it for detoxification purposes.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever try coffee with, what do you call that? Did you ever try coffee with charcoal?
With activated charcoal?
Yeah.
No, I have not tried that.
Oh, it's really good with some steamed milk on it.
I would try. That sounds interesting. Wow. No, wow. I would do it though. It sounds good to me.
That's really popular here in Marbella. So you have like a big scoop. It's black. The coffee is, of course, it's black, but it's even blacker with charcoal.
But why do they take it as a binder?
Yeah, it's like a detox coffee, they call it. Okay, yeah, in these cafeterias. I don't know. I don't know if the combination is good. What do you think, Ben? Coffee, milk, and charcoal?
Well, it'll bind whatever you consume with it, right? So I don't know if it's binding some of the polyphenols in the coffee. I don't know. No. It doesn't sound like a bad idea, but I'm not sure if it's binding anything else. But if you had that coffee with like other supplements, that's probably not a good idea, because then the charcoal will bind the supplements.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and they're planting the seed.
Norges aller første bok om biohacking ute I butikk, og vi så utrolig takknemlige.
Den gikk rett inn på første plass hos ARK, og nå ligger den på andre plass på den nasjonale bestsellerlisten. Dette jo helt magisk.
Og det takket være deg, du som lytter på podcasten vår, gjestene våre, du som kommer på kongressene våre, og du som deler reisen med oss. Det derfor det ble bok.
I boken får du våre beste verktøy, biohacks og hverdagstips, så du kan få mer energi, bedre søvn og mer balanse I livet ditt.
Så løp og sikre deg biohacking der du kjøper bøker, eller?
Du kan låne den helt gratis på biblioteket.
Vi heier på deg!
Talking about fat, as you mentioned, keto, it's not a diet, but it's a metabolic state. And what do you say to people that argue that the ketosis is unsustainable, it can be dangerous eating this way for long term? You are the keto camp guy. How do you respond?
Yes. Yeah, you just said it. It's keto is not a diet. It's a metabolic state, a metabolic process. There's nothing new about keto. It's been around forever. It's just nuanced or maybe new to some people, but all of our ancestors did ketosis. They were in this metabolic process of ketosis. Now people use it for weight loss. They use it for different reasons. There are many different ways to do keto. First of all, I will say, yes, I'm the keto camp guy, but I don't recommend long-term continuous ketosis. I don't recommend that personally. I don't do that. I don't recommend it for my students and my clients, especially for women. I recommend metabolic flexibility, going in and out of ketosis. And my previous book, Keto Flex, went deep into that. And I also talk about that in this book. I call it metabolic flexing. But ketosis is amazing. It's one of the greatest biohacks you could implement. I will call it a biohack because when you're in ketosis, those ketones are communicating. They're talking directly to your mitochondria. Your mitochondria produce energy. There are these amazing power plants within your cells. And ketones are signaling to those mitochondria to create more mitochondria. It's called mitochondrial biogenesis. With that creation of new mitochondria, there's more energy being produced, which means you feel better and you burn more fat because it raises your basal metabolic rate, your metabolism. Those ketones also, when you're in ketosis, you lower insulin. We already made the case earlier why that's really important to lower insulin. It upregulates glutathione in the body, this important antioxidant. And it's a really, really powerful tool, especially if you're metabolically dysfunctional, like insulin resistance, PCOS, prediabetes, diabetes. The 93% of Americans that are metabolically unhealthy, in the book, I say that they are in a keto deficiency. They forgot how to burn fat. So ketones are simply a byproduct of burning stored fat. It's a very valuable tool if you do it the right way. The problem is a lot of people do it and they don't do it the right way. They either eat the wrong fats or they're too aggressive or they do it too long. So there needs to be a customization to it.
Mm-hmm. And also the dirty keto.
Yes, the dirty keto, exactly.
Yeah, with all these bars and, you know, it's like an ultra-processed version of it.
Exactly. See that all the time.
But Ben, so if you want to go keto, because we did a study under Eric Berg back in the days.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. And he adds a lot of greens and, you know, it's like a healthier version of it. You have the apple cider vinegar and yeah, like you know. But I think if you're going to flex, if you're going to give us the easy recipe of flexing for people who listen, who's on a keto lifestyle, what would you recommend?
So in general, to be in ketosis, most people need to keep their total carbohydrates under around 40 to 50 grams of total carbs a day. Some people need to drop it even under that 30 grams or so. And those carbohydrates, like you mentioned, come from non-starchy carbs, green leafy vegetables, no high glycemic carbohydrates. When you flex, you ideally want to take your total carbs from under 50 grams to around 150 grams of carbs on that day and spread it out through three meals, so no fasting on that day. But you also want to lower your fat on a higher carb day. It's not a high fat day. A high carb day is a low fat day. When you have high carbs and high fat, that is a problem. So in the book, I explain why it's important when you increase your carbs intentionally, you decrease your fats. And let's just say you keep it under 50 grams of fat per day for that high carb day. That you are intentionally getting yourself out of ketosis, making these hormonal conversions, maintaining metabolic flexibility. It works really well. It's a great long-term sustainable approach.
I hear so much talk about now the high protein keto version.
I like it. Lowers
the fat. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's a good variation. So the way that I have the 30-day plan, in the beginning, your approach is high fat, low carb, very low carb. Mm-hmm. Once I get that person fat adapted, they're in ketosis, then I do what you just said. I actually intentionally decrease their fats a bit and increase their protein, because then you're going to allow your metabolism to burn stored fat versus all the extra fat you're having on keto. So I'm a big fan of a high protein keto diet. Week 2 and 3 of that plan is a high protein keto diet where you're just getting the fat that comes naturally with the protein. Yeah. So I like it. It's a good variation.
So the clue here is the variation, no?
Yeah, exactly. It's the variation. That's what it's all about. Just like every great fitness trainer and personal trainer, they always change up the workout to make sure that the person doesn't plateau and they're always getting results. We could do the same thing. They call it muscle confusion. I call it metabolic confusion in the book, because exactly, you create change and variation and you never adapt, you never hit a plateau or you overcome a plateau. So variation is the name of the game, yes.
But when we met, Ben, you were basically doing carnivore.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm not sure what you're doing now, but how did that feel and what are your results and studies under that?
I feel great on a carnivore diet personally. It's a terrific approach for those who have autoimmune disease, of course, metabolic diseases like insulin resistance and diabetes. Personally, I'm doing maybe mostly carnivore right now, like Monday through Saturday, I'm carnivore essentially, and then Sunday I'm not. I'll have my flex day, high carbs, not carnivore, not keto. I feel great with it. I've done as long as 90 straight days of carnivore. When I saw you for dinner, I think I was like maybe like a month into it at that time. Now I'm a little bit kind of flexing in and out. I personally feel great with it, but again, it's not something I would recommend long term. It's a great reset. It's a great elimination diet. You're removing these plant toxins, these anti-nutrients that for a lot of people are problematic. It's creating inflammation. And if you have autoimmune, I think you should highly consider doing a carnivore diet or a variation of a carnivore diet.
And also like with you, Alette, you had so many allergies. And when you do carnivore, she not doesn't need to use great. Medicine
no.
anymore.
No.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Perfect. Yeah. So this time of year with the spring coming in, it's a great hack, actually.
I agree. I love that you do it too. Yeah, it's amazing.
But we have to talk about the intermittent fasting also, because this is a tool in the metabolic freedom. Yes.
Yes.
And probably longer fasts. And some people are concerned. How about women? What should we think about?
Yeah, there is definitely women are practicing fasting differently than men. Mindy made that really popular and she's spot on. Fasting is a stress to the body. It doesn't mean it's bad for you unless it's too much stress. So in the book, I talk about this hormesis, this hormetic zone, which essentially means, hormesis means when you apply a stress to a body, to your body, and when you adapt to that stress, you are healthier, you are stronger, you are fitter, you burn more fat, you get all the benefits. But if that stress was too much for your body to adapt to, you lose all those benefits and now you inflame the body, you store fat, you wreck the hormones, all the opposite things of what you want. So fasting is a stress, so is exercise, so are all these biohacks. Every single biohack has that in common. It stresses the body. It doesn't mean it's bad unless you do too much. So cold plunge, sauna, red light, these are all stressors. Fasting, even ketosis is a stressor. It's not that the stress is bad, it's that the person might be doing it too much, too aggressively, they're not customizing it. But I do believe fasting, when done right, is one of the greatest things you can do for both men and women, for your metabolism, for your health. I call it nature's reset button. It really harnesses this innate intelligence to heal the body because you essentially remove the interference. It takes a lot of energy to process food, to digest food. And when you complete digestion during a fast, like just 14 hours into a fast, you're completing digestion and you're turning on a process called energy diversion, which is one of my favorite benefits to fasting, where you're diverting energy away from what was being used for digestion and now it's being diverted for healing to the brain, to the liver, to the kidney, to the heart, wherever the innate intelligence sends it, it starts healing that area. So I love fasting. I call it responsible fasting. Men and women practice it differently. Go read Fast Like a Girl because she outlines it for you so beautiful. Mindy does. And if done right, it's an amazing tool in the shed for both men and women.
Yeah. What are the ideal times to fast? Do you think from the morning or at night or a combination? Do you skip breakfast?
Oh, yeah. Interesting question. Because if you asked this to me maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I would have had a different answer than what I have now.
Yeah.
The answer now is that the best, if you're going to choose between skipping breakfast and skipping dinner, it's better to skip dinner. It's much healthier for you to have the breakfast and the lunch, essentially to have most of your calories earlier in the day, especially for women, than it is to have it later in the day. Now, socially, that's not as easy to do. It's much easier to skip breakfast and have dinner because we have dinner, we have our family, we have events. But if you're asking me what is the optimal way to do it, is to have breakfast and skip dinner. And I'll share a study with you that backs this up. I may or may have not put it in the book. I don't remember, but this is a study done from Dr. Courtney Peterson from the University of Alabama, Birmingham in the United States. She had two groups of participants in the study. They controlled everything, the calories, they measured everything. They even measured autophagy through the what's called the LC3A protein, which you can measure in a lab like this. They measured their sirtuins, their longevity genes. And here were the only differences in the group. One group had their meals between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. So they had breakfast and lunch and skipped dinner. The other group had their meals between 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. So this group skipped breakfast and had dinner. Same calories, everything else is the same. The only difference is that one group had breakfast, the other group did not. After just 4 days, they tested their autophagy levels, and they tested their sirtuin genes, and they saw that the group that had breakfast and skipped dinner had 22% more autophagy and 10% more of their longevity sirtuin genes activated by having breakfast and skipping dinner. That's super cool.
Meaning lowering their biological age.
Exactly. Anti-aging. Exactly.
They're getting younger by eating that way. So Alette and me, we have been not struggling, but we are trying always to invite for lunch parties or mini trampoline jumping parties, go to the beach, walk in the woods parties.
That's cool. Because,
yeah, instead of always sitting around the dinner table at 10 at night, 10 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a bit hard to change people's mindset. What should we do? How can we inspire people to think differently?
How do you navigate this?
Yeah.
Well, whenever I'm asked to go out to dinner, my latest time that I could have dinner is 5:30. Now, there are some exceptions because when I went over to Melissa's house, it was like 7 p.m. or so. But I say no to a lot of dinners. I really do, because if it's late, I just don't do it. Do you know Dr. Daniel Pompa?
Yeah.
Have you heard of Dr. Pompa at all?
Yes.
He's great, by the way. You got to have him on. He's the GOAT. He's amazing. But I bring him up because every time I'm with him and his wife, oh, it drives me crazy. They always want to have dinner like at 9 p.m. at night. By the time we're eating, it's like 10:30. I'm already in bed at that time. Yeah. So how do I navigate it? It's a challenge, especially when I'm traveling. I just, whenever I'm setting up a dinner, I'll set it up really early, like a 5 p.m. old person dinner, but I'm okay with that. And even though I know it's important to have breakfast and skip dinner, I tend to have most of my calories between like 12 p.m. and 6 p.m. personally. That's what I do. It just works better for my schedule. But I love the idea of what you just shared, Monica. You know, lunch dates, group activities, that's something that I want to implement as well.
Yeah. It impacts your sleep too. So when you eat late, it's like the circle of everything. So is it worth it? Yes, sometimes you need to go to family dinners. And we had a lovely dinner at Melissa and Jason's house. But yes. Me too, I can feel that's too late because it's like you say, when you're invited for dinner at 7, you're actually not eating before 9.
Yeah.
It's finishing, putting pieces into your
Correct.
Mouth. Okay, so can we fix this when we have late dinners? Do you have any tools for that? I can't remember in the book now, but maybe you have some experiences.
Apple cider vinegar is actually the best thing you can do. 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar with water, diluted with water, will help to digest the meal faster and to regulate your blood sugar level so it doesn't impact your sleep as much. And then on top of that, going for a walk right after that last meal would be a great idea. I do talk about that in the book. So not necessarily the binders per se for this, but apple cider vinegar and a postprandial walk, as little as 10 minutes, but even better 30 minutes, will help you digest the meal faster, prevent a big glucose spike, so it doesn't impact your sleep as negative as it would otherwise.
Mm-hmm. But back to the dirty keto, because we know that you're critical to seed oils and that they are harmful to cellular health. And what is your stance on the recommendation that vegetables, oils are really heart healthy? We have been talking to Kate Shanahan a lot about this, and now we want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, she's great. I love Dr. Kate Shanahan. She's been a huge voice for seed oils for many years, probably one of the first her and Dr. Pompa. They're a problem. It's unfortunate that the American Heart Association puts their stamp of approval on these oils. They're highly inflammatory. They're so detrimental to our biology. They stay in the body for years. Once you consume them, first of all, when you consume them, I talk about this in chapter 4, there's a process called lipid membrane reorganization, which means when you eat these bad fats, within hours, they embed into your cell membranes within hours. So the whole adage, the old adage of like, you are what you eat, it's true. And it happens a lot faster than what people think. And once it's there in your fat cells, it's there for years. The half-life of them is 2 years, 680 days. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. They're in 80% of the food supply in the US. They're touted as being heart healthy. They're the opposite of that. And I'm sure Dr. Kate Shanahan has given a masterclass on that. When I go to restaurants, I use this. I use a seed oil allergy card. Did I give this to you, Monica?
No, but do you know, Ben, we have actually copied this in Norway and stole your idea, and we have given it to some people.
I love it.
I would like to have the original, so you have to send us a few.
Yeah, give me your address. I'll send you some. Yeah. So I use this, and it essentially just says you're allergic to these vegetable oils, and can you use a healthier option? And you could either have the card or you could even just say it to them. That's what I used to do before I had it. I used to tell them, I'm allergic to these oils. What are my options here? I don't want to take the hit. It's one of those things that I'm really diligent about. So we want instead, that is dirty keto to answer your question. We want healthy fats like butter, ghee, beef tallow. We want duck fat, avocado oil, coconut oil, olive oil. Those are much, much healthier for your metabolism.
And you know, Goodrich, he actually said it took like 4 years. The halftime was up to 4 years. He had his own experience. And even with you live in Miami, I live in Marbella, we're exposed to a lot of sunlight. So do you have any reflection on sunlight and sunburns and seed oils? And even connected to the metabolism?
Yeah. So with the sunburn conversation, anecdotally, I could share personally and then through a lot of students of mine that when I was having a lot of seed oils in my diet before I knew they were dangerous, this was probably 10, 15 years ago, I would burn a lot quicker. And when, and including fish oil, by the way, fish oil is also what I consider not healthy. It's not a healthy oil. We could talk more about that later if you want. But when I got rid of fish oil and seed oils, I could be out in the sun for hours and not burn. And I've also heard students say the same thing. Like once I gave up seed oils, I don't sunburn as much. I'm more protected. So I've seen that before time after time. These seed oils do disrupt the metabolism because of its effect at a cell level with the mitochondria. Because not only are they going into the cell membrane and staying there for years, but also the mitochondrial membranes. And it's a poison to the mitochondria. The mitochondria cannot use them as an efficient energy source. So you become fatigued and inflamed. And then the mitochondria cannot burn fat as efficiently. So you start storing fat. So it hugely impacts your metabolism in a bunch of ways. But when you start to make these swaps with removing the seed oils and adding in the healthy fats I mentioned, and now you're fasting, you're detoxifying, you're doing different things, those bad oils that are in your body do not have to stay there for that long. You could actually eliminate them faster by doing the things that we talk about in this conversation, but also what I talk about in the book as well.
Mm-hmm. So who is this book for? Is it for total beginners, or could Monica and I benefit from it, since even if we have been doing this for a while?
The book was written for the masses. Mm-hmm. It was written for the 93% of people that are metabolically unhealthy. It's a paradigm shift for them. A lot of the information is the exact opposite of what they have been taught, which is the reason why they're unhealthy. With that being said, if you're already in this space, the biohacking space, like you both clearly are, and you've been doing this for a while, it's also for you because there are, first of all, 275 scientific citations in there. I go really deep into the science, but I explain it in a way for the masses to understand with analogies. And the 30-day plan at the end of the book also has two different journeys. There's a beginner plan and there's an advanced plan. So if you want to, whether you're brand new and you just want to understand how to feel better and burn fat, it's for you. Or if you're advanced into this game and you want to learn about additional biohacks and a different way to enhance your metabolism, the book's also for you. You can geek out on some of the studies as well.
Mm. Wow. But I have to get back to chapter 10. I love the chapter and about how the thoughts influence how we think about fat loss and how we do fat loss. And you have a great example about the placebo, how this works. Can you tell that example with the medicine during the war?
Yeah, I love it.
Because it's
I love it.
So cool.
My favorite chapter is chapter 10.
Really?
Yeah, it's by far my favorite. I love that chapter. My next book's probably going to be all about chapter 10, just a little bit deeper. I'll probably call it Mental Freedom the next book.
Great.
I love that chapter. Yeah. So yeah, we've all heard of the placebo effect. Mm-hmm. A lot of these studies are matched mm-hmm. to a placebo, but a lot of people don't know the origin of the placebo effect. And
exactly.
That's what you were bringing up, Colette. So in the during World War II in the 1930s, there was an anesthesiologist named Dr. Henry Beecher who worked with Harvard, and he was working with the United States military during the war. And during this German bombardment, the soldiers were entering these medical tents where this doctor was, Dr. Beecher, but they had severe wounds. Their legs were blown off. They had bullet wounds. It was a really, really atrocious scene. And Dr. Beecher would administer morphine to these soldiers to stabilize them long enough to calm them down for the ambulance to come, transfer them to the hospital, perform surgery, and save their lives. But one night they were working on these soldiers and they ran out of morphine. And the nurse on staff didn't know what to do. She was freaking out. So she put saline solution, which is salt water, in the needles told Dr. Beecher, I'm giving you more morphine. So he had the belief he had morphine, and he would tell the soldiers, I'm giving you morphine. You're going to calm down in a few seconds. We're going to save your life. You're going to stabilize. You're going to survive. So he would administer the salt water. They were thinking they were getting morphine. And most of these soldiers survived from the salt water. They stabilized. They transferred them. They performed surgery. So the war ended. And then Harvard studied what happened in this medical tent. And that's where the placebo effect originated. Now we have all these studies matched to a placebo effect. And it shows you how powerful your thoughts are. The thoughts can heal the body. We have 60,000 thoughts a day. That means we have 60,000 opportunities to put the body in a healing anti-inflammatory state. And to me, that's the greatest biohack that I could ever share with your audience.
That's such a cool story.
Super cool.
And together with the gratefulness and I'm just changing of the mindset. So half the work here is psychological. It's mental. It's not only food.
Yeah, most of the work is psychological, mental.
Okay. If you then have clients and they really want to do this, this shift, they're really into it, but they get overwhelmed, maybe with life happening, children, busy lives, and of course, stress. How can we help this? And where do they start when they get this stress response and sabotage themselves, you know? It's so hard to commit.
Yeah, I see it a lot. See it a lot. You're correct. In that same chapter, chapter 10, I talk about the self-image, the way you view yourself. And I don't have enough time to get into, because I would talk about this for like an hour, to get into what this means. But I'll give a simple tip for this person who's struggling. Yeah. I would literally get a card, like I do this with every goal in my life. I have an index card and I write down on the card this version of myself that I want to live like and I want to be like. And I put it in the present tense. I'm so happy and grateful. And then I write that version of myself that I want to be. And I just read it every day. In the morning when I wake up, it's the first thing I read. I have it in my pocket when I'm at a red light in my car. I'll pull it out and read it. I read it before bed. Just by doing that, without changing anything else, not even a diet, not even fasting or any biohack, just by doing that one thing for 30 days, you will see a dramatic improvement in your life, your health, your energy levels, your vitality, less stress, because you're replacing the old conditioning in your subconscious mind, which is not serving you right now, with the new idea. It's the most powerful way to do that. And in chapter 10, I give a specific affirmation to do this for health. It's actually part of that 30-day protocol along with vitamin G and different biohacks. So that would be my recommendation because it's easy to do, but it's also easy not to do because it kind of seems like, yeah, right. That's it, Ben. Like it kind of seems childish in a way. Like you just want me to write that down and read it. How's that going to change my life? Well, I'll say this. If your way is not working, why don't you try mine? Give me 30 days. Just do this one thing for 30 days and then come back to me and let me know how it works for you.
Wonderful. I will start writing my notes immediately. But what else is coming around with the book now? You have a lot of challenges and courses, and there's a lot of information on your podcast, Ben. What's coming up now for May? Are you excited?
I am always excited, yeah, because I love what I do. I love talking to you two. I am excited to go to Norway next year and meet you all and hang out there. We'll talk about that later on. I'm excited about speaking. It's my favorite thing to do, to speak on stage and transform an audience. And I take it really seriously when I speak. I'll rehearse that same presentation 25, 30 times before I step on stage because it means that much to me. I want to make a dramatic shift in that audience. I don't want to just read slides. I want it to be a shift. So I'm excited about doing more of those. I'm excited for the book to come out and reach many people. We have really amazing goals for the book and to continue having conversations like this with you two and other people in the space that are taking the power away from big pharma and giving it to us, the people, which we need to do so badly.
Thank you so much. We have been participating in your challenge. I'm sure there's going to be more of that to come for the people who buy the book.
Yeah, so we have a special gift for your audience. If you buy the book over at metabolicfreedombook.com, there are different retailers there. And whether it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and they're called Genius Links. So if you're not in the US, it'll take you to your country origin of that link. And once you buy the book there, if you put your email, name, and order number on that same page, you'll see step two. You'll be instantly sent an entire course on the metabolism for free, where there's 12 lessons where I go deep into the metabolism and you could geek out with me. You get that for free. And then we have some exclusive interviews in that course with Dr. Jason Fung, Megan Ramos, Cynthia Thurlow, and Dr. Daniel Pompa. All that's for free. We don't collect the credit card. We're not charging you later. All you have to do is buy the book over at metabolicfreedombook.com.
Amazing. Cool. Such an inspiration to talk to you. And now we know that you're coming to Norway. There's no way back.
I want to go. I'm excited for it.
Manifested now. Yeah.
It's manifested. Let's make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Thank you. It was lovely to talk to you, Ben.
What an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you both. It's an honor. You're doing great work. You're carrying, you're both trailblazers in Norway, making biohacking and metabolic health mainstream in Norway and in the world as well. But you both are doing great work. I love your passion for this. The interview was so much fun. And let's have a fun time in Norway at your event next year.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much.
Biohacking girls, taking the lead, the future is bright, and they're planting the seed.
Wow, Monica. What an incredible conversation with Ben Asadi. Every time we listen to him speak, it's like flipping a light switch. He has the rare ability to take complex science and break it down into real, actionable truth. And you can really feel that he truly walks the walk.
That's what I felt when I met him in Miami too. And we are very excited to bring him to Norway. We really hope this is happening. Okay, so whether it's challenging outdated health advices, or if it's advocating for food freedom, or if it's guiding people back to their innate ability to heal, Ben Asadi is doing so much important work. And if you are feeling inspired, or if you are curious about this method or way of thinking, or maybe even a little fired up after this episode, because we surely are, that's a good thing.
That's a really good thing. And if you haven't yet, you have to go and check out his book, Metabolic Freedom. It's a powerful guide, not just for fat loss, but for real transformation at the cellular level. We will give you the links in the show notes. So don't worry, you will find it.
Including both podcasts and the Keto Camp community. And everybody, our amazing listeners, we will just share the gratitude we started this episode with, and feel the gratitude, not just saying it, for showing up for you and for yourselves today. We are gratitude for you, all of you, and we are grateful for you, Ben. And listen, your health is your greatest asset, and these kinds of conversations help us all stay on the right path.
So, to all of you, until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and as always, stay well. Happy
biohacking.
Biohacking girls, changing the game, optimizing life. They're ahead of the frame from mitochondria.
Vi minner om at dere må snakke med egen lege eller kostholdsveileder om dietter og andre spørsmål relatert til medisiner og supplementer. Informasjon vi deler kan ikke bli brukt til å diagnostisere, behandle, forebygge eller kurere noen sykdommer eller tilstander.